Welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
We've been teaching on a series here about trust. And, you know, marriage is always built on trust, right? And it's kind of scary, isn't it? When you get married to somebody, you're like stepping out. And there's a lot of fears of the unknown about what can happen in this relationship. This person can harm me, or this person can, you know, also be a great source of blessing in my life. And, you know, one of the first messages we taught on trust was about trusting in the Lord. And that, you know, when we place our trust in Him, He's like the pilot. And we're just sitting in the airplane, and there's a lot of things that could go wrong because we're totally out of control, right? And when we're out of control, we get scared, right? And sometimes we want to take over in our life. And one of the most important things about trust is we learn to respond in trust when we get scared, right? And when we feel lost, when we're rejected, when we experience pain and suffering and hardships, that we need to create this pattern in our life, this foundation in our life, to learn to trust in the Lord, respond in trust in the midst of crisis. Right, church? Amen. And then we also talked about intimacy, that intimacy cultivates trust, right? That as we build intimacy with people, even think about marriage, right? As you come closer to your spouse or closer to another person, you have more experiences together and more opportunities for those commitments to be followed through, then that builds trust, right? The closer we get to someone, the more intimate we become with them, the more we trust. And I made two really important points in that message, that we need to learn how to grow in intimacy with God, growing and cultivating that intimacy, and that when God gets His way, He gets intimacy. Throughout all of the Bible history, when God got His way, He got intimacy in the garden. When God got His way, He got intimacy, you know, with David in the tabernacle, and He got intimacy with Moses when He fellowshipped with him as just like friends, right? As face-to-face, like friends. And so cultivating that intimacy is really crucial for us to build trust, right, church? And Pastor Mark, I don't have his message memorized, but his focus was on that, the issues of whether or not we stir up our faith to command God to tell Him what to do. It's not about us stirring up our faith to command God to tell Him what to do, but it's ultimately about whether or not I can trust in the sovereign God. I don't have to command the who, what, why, when, where, and how God will move, but rather just trust in that, in the one who will do it, right? And that He loves me no matter what. That our job isn't to figure out all the specifics of the who, what, where, when, and how it's all going to happen, but we trust in just the who, the God, that intimate relationship that we have with Him, that He's going to sovereignly carry us through in His plan throughout all of our life and the future lives and our kids' lives, right? That we can truly respond in trust. Next message that I spoke was to trust in the Lord, to be knit and joined in His family. Remember this message? We're talking about the trees that were all knit together, and that Ephesians 4:15 says, Christ, who is the head of the body, the church, under His direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love, right? We talked about that there's sort of a disease happening in the body of Christ. We're all a bunch of pots in these transplanted pots, right? And we carry it around, but we never break our pot and allow our roots to go deep into the soil so that we can become a tree, a forest that's all knit together to support one another and help one another. And that's no judgment to anyone. I just believe it's a challenge for us to consider, where are we at and what is God asking of us, and what do we desire from the church? What do we believe God has called the church to become? And do we want to be a part of that? And do we truly believe that in those knit and trusting relationships with one another that we're truly going to reach the destiny that God has for us? We're going to be able to grow to our full potential. A pot that's always in a planter will never grow to its full potential. But God designed you and I to break our pots, to root down deep together, to grow into full, mature trees, right? The family of God, leaning on each other to fulfill the purposes that God has destined for His church. Amen? That takes trust. It takes trust and the ability to respond when things go wrong and continue to trust even when it's not perfect and not just jump ship, right? Because it won't be perfect. It will be difficult. We've been through lots of difficulties as a church over the last 50 years, and God has sovereignly continued to move His hand and move us forward in Him. It's not by our doing, it's by His. And the more we learn to trust in Him and not just in our own abilities and our own strength and even our own leadership, and we're going to talk about this today in the message I have prepared to close this trust series, but we begin to see Him much bigger and understand that nothing can stop His hand from moving. It makes it easier to break that pot and root down deep. Amen? All right. Pastor Mark preached a message, two messages in a row. One about faith as a natural result of being completely convinced of His love for me, of God's love for me and His payment for my sin. And faith is born of God. When we are trusting God, we are in faith. Faith isn't about being perfect, it's about trusting. If you didn't get that message, you should get that message. That was one of the most powerful messages I've ever heard in my life. And it impacted me. Impacted me huge. I was going back through my notes. But I encourage you to get that message. Dig it up. I could never do it justice just in recap. But you need to get that message from Him. And really understand that God loves you. And He is not trying to get you to be perfect so you can command Him and make your faith do something. Rather that your faith is in a God who is going to, He is going to make things happen, and faith becomes a natural result, something He is growing, He is doing, He is perfecting, not you and me, right? Faith is responsible. It's a response. It's actually God builds our faith. And anyway, Mark also preached another message, trust in God, the God who provides. God will bring just what you need at just the perfect time. And talking about the ram in the thicket, that God is always working provision out right when we need it, not necessarily how we want it, right? Okay, today we're going to talk about the unshakable kingdom. The unshakable kingdom. That God has designed us to trust in the unshakable kingdom. This message, I'm not diving into to try to reshape any of your end time theology per se, but rather to think a little deeper about what God promised us, what He has designed us for, and just simply what He said, and what I believe the Bible clearly tells us the church ought to be. And this comes down to a trusting relationship in who God is, not what we see with our eyes around us. So trust in the unshakable kingdom. I'm just going to open with this passage right here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. By the way, did you find it? No, but you're traveling with me? You're amazing. But we had some sort of problem with the PowerPoint, so Kalia, the amazing, will just improvise as we go. All right, so Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. Here, we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. We are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. This comes in the context of the Apostle Paul teaching about all of the different men and women of faith, saying how amazing they were and how even in the midst of all their struggle, they never even saw all of what God intended them to, what they felt like they would see or do even in the midst of it, but they were died in their faith, whether they were beheaded or whether they saw great triumph and lots of churches being planted or whatever, their victory, they still died in faith and they were still building the unshakable kingdom, unstoppable force of God's love. That's what you and I need to learn to trust in as we move forward in our relationship together and with our God, the unshakable kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, I pray that you'll make sense of what you are desiring to speak here today. God, that you will help me to just translate that. God, we're just drawing on you, Holy Spirit, to just move in us today. God, we pray that you will knit us and join us just how you desire, God, in a way that we could see a great revival and transformation of this city, of this state, of this nation and the world, God, that we can touch. Father, we're asking that you help our eyes to be centered on you, the author and the perfecter, the author and the finisher of our faith, God. We trust in you today. God, grow our trust in who you are and what you're desiring to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So one thing that I kind of do want to do is to help you build a little more of a triumphant theology. A triumphant theology. One that is a little more victorious than some theology that is a little more doom and gloom. Right? I don't know about you, but I have some conflicts with some doom and gloom theology. When Jesus says we're more than conquerors in Romans 8:37, right? How do we get defeated? I can't reconcile this in my small p mind that God gave me, right? It's bigger than a p and God. But it feels like a p in comparison to how gigantic God is and what he's really doing. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? You ever just look at the world and you go, man, I'm really small sometimes? I'm not trying to minimize myself, but also realize my perspective is just mine. And I'm just a person. I'm not God himself, and none of us are, right? And we have to take that small perspective of the small amount of years that we've lived and look through the lens of the scripture and try to see what we believe God is really doing. The Bible was written to real people, to them, and it had to make sense to them, right? It wasn't written to us, it's for us and applicable to us, but it was written to them. And when we see what God was saying to these individuals in their time, they understood it. And it should make sense to them and at the same time make sense to us. And so if God is telling us that we're more than conquerors, that means super victorious. You go onto the field of battle and the battle is won. And then he's also calling us an unshakable church. We're building an unshakable kingdom. Something that cannot be stopped. How do we lose? Even if you die, Tertullian said this in 195 AD, is in some of his writings, said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. This isn't the scripture, but this is true. This is true. It says it in Hebrews 11, that even when they died and they were sawed in two, the kingdom still won. The kingdom was advanced. We saw Stephen be stoned and the ministry of Paul be birthed. All happened right there. Boom. You and I have to learn how to trust in the unshakable kingdom that God is building in and through us. It's just amazing he chose to do it in and through us. Look, we've got to embrace the fact this is his plan. At some point, we have to just embrace the fact this is what God wants to do. And it doesn't really matter what we think about it. He's going to get his way, right? Because that's the way he is. He gets his way. He's a sovereign God who always, always, always says what he means and does what he says. Right? And when he says we're going to be an unshakable kingdom, this should build such a platform and such a foundation of trust in us that no matter what we face or what circumstances we see in the world around us, we understand there is a God at work who supersedes all things, who supersedes all governments, all circumstances, all events, the stock market, your 401k, your job, your boss, your church leaders. He supersedes all of those things. And he has a specific and pointed destiny for you as an individual. You're his masterpiece, right? With great things he destined you to do, Ephesians 2. And for his church. In every season, in every age, every decade, every generation, God had a specific plan that he was working and doing. And he accomplished them all. He never failed. Do you know the church is not a failure right now? And so much theology is out there about how the church is so weak and so disobedient and drifted so far from the will of God. This can't happen. Come on, church, are you with me? This is not possible. Okay. We're going to get there then. We're going to get there. Here we go. Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope and future. Say what? You've been called to one glorious hope and future? Not two, not three. How many? One. Is it glorious? Yeah. Is there hope in it? Is it your future? Come on, is it your future? Yes. It's one, not two, like, well, there's one glorious hope and future for some, and then there's another kind of like lame one for the people who just didn't figure it all the way out. Like, you didn't do enough, you weren't perfect enough, you weren't good enough, you didn't serve enough, you didn't obey enough, you didn't have enough faith. Get Mark's message on faith, okay, in the Trust Series. Get the Trust Series. If you're struggling right there, you need to get that message because I'm not going to preach it again. You need to get that one, right? I'm going to preach this message. Trust in the unshakable church. Listen, trust that there is a God who's given you one glorious hope and future, and you too are called to it if you believe in Jesus and have a relationship with Him. That's all you need. And then listen, build and cultivate that intimacy with Him. But the problem, the reason I want to preach this message, I feel that this is on my heart, is I had this really big, like, pressure gauge that said trust, and it was on zero. When trust is on zero in our life, we tend to panic. When we feel like we have no security, sometimes we freak out. Am I the only one that does that? I mean, when I feel like, oh my goodness, all the finances are going to fall apart in my personal life or whatever, or like, what am I going to do about this, and my kid broke her arm, and then this kid likes, he's got rotten teeth, and then that kid's like, you know, got to go to the doctor, and the other one jumps off the deck, and, right, whatever. Never mind. Things, all of a sudden, I'm like, where am I going to get the money to pay for all these kids? Right? Whatever it is in your life, if I don't have a trust relationship with the God who provides, if I don't have a trust relationship with a God who says, hey, listen, no matter what's happening in the nation right now and all the laws they're passing and whether or not we stay a free nation or whatever, right? Then I could start to freak out thinking they're all going to come against the church and they're going to smash the church down and they'll do laws against the church where we won't be able to meet together. And listen, there is nothing new under the sun. Everything that the devil has tried to do to the church has been done. And it's still happening. They chop people's heads off today. They round them up and kill them. They oppress them and make laws and say they can't have Bibles. All over the world this happens. And guess what? The church keeps growing. The church is bigger today than it's ever been throughout world history. And it'll be bigger at the end of today than it ever was throughout world history. And tomorrow, it'll be even bigger than it ever was throughout world history. Every single day, the unshakable church keeps growing and growing and growing. You can't be stopped. You can't be stopped. Because you serve a God who won't be stopped. You serve a God who said to Peter, in Matthew, he said, listen, now I say to you,
that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and all the powers of hell will easily destroy it. We believe that all the time. You know how much theology I've heard and people teach about that? Like, oh, well, you know, the church is going to get the beat down of its life. We're going to get terrible, and we're going to be weak, and we're going to be wimpy, and the whole world, the Antichrist, and everybody's going to take us over and beat us all up. How is that possible? You just tell me this. I know that we can read some scripture, and I'm not just trying to go after this thing super bad here, but I'm just saying we can read some things where we could pull that out. But how do we reconcile when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it? We have to reconcile some of these things at some point and say, look, we serve a God who can't be stopped. We have a power living within us that is expansive, that is growing, that's unstoppable. The love that God has placed inside of our hearts will conquer everything in this world. And there's nothing the enemy can do to oppress it or stop it. Every time he applies pressure, it creates momentum. He tries to squeeze the church down through governments and leaders. It applies pressure and momentum to grow the church out in new ways. Every time he tries to kill someone and stop a leader from preaching or teaching and expanding the kingdom, 100 more grow up in his place. It's been happening forever. It's never going to stop. It's never going to stop. You serve a God who's leading and who is in charge of and who is empowering and thrusting forward the unshakable kingdom. And on this rock, God said, I will build my church. Jesus, they said to him in Philippians, that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That's a promise. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. Doesn't matter how obstinate anybody is. But I want to take us to this passage. We're going to dig a little bit deep. We're going to kind of go between Daniel chapter 2. And, you know, I'm going to tie my shoe. I'm sorry. It's bothering me. It's bothering my wife. She can see it. I knew it was going to. She's never going to listen to anything I'm going to say if I don't tie my shoe. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. So you can jump onto that one. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. This is Daniel interpreting the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. That's a beautiful picture of a mountain on this scene. So just imagine that in the background. That's why, you know, listen, there have been four major world powers throughout world history. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and nobody else. They ran the entire world, okay? Known world, whatever. Babylon, Greece, Persia, Rome. And then guess what? No one else has ever done it to this day. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing, really important piece of world history. And when we read this, which happened during the time of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Daniel interprets his dream, which shook Nebuchadnezzar to the core. He says, in your vision, your majesty, you saw standing before you a huge shining statue of a man. It was a frightening sight. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. Its chest and arms were silver, and its belly and thighs were bronze, and its legs were iron, and its feet were a combination of iron and baked clay. As you watched, a rock was cut from a mountain, but not by human hands. It struck the feet of iron and clay, smashing them to bits. The whole statue was crushed into small pieces of iron, clay, bronze, silver, and gold. Then the wind blew them away without a trace, like chaff on a threshing floor. But the rock that knocked the statue down became a great mountain that covered the whole earth. Wait a second. The mountain that crushed him covered the whole earth. That was the dream. Now I'll tell the king what it means. Your majesty, you are the greatest of kings. The God of heaven has given you sovereignty power, strength, and honor. He has made you the ruler over the inhabited world and has put even the wild animals and birds under your control. You are the head of gold. But after you comes a kingdom, after your kingdom comes to an end, another kingdom inferior to yours will rise up and take your place. After that kingdom has fallen, yet a third kingdom represented by bronze will rise to rule the world. Following that kingdom will there will be a fourth one, as strong as iron. That kingdom will smash and crush all previous empires, just as iron smashes and crushes everything it strikes. The feet and the toes you saw were a combination of iron and baked clay, showing that the kingdom, that this kingdom, this fourth kingdom, you with me? You got to read the words that are in the Bible to these individuals. Nebuchadnezzar understood this. This fourth kingdom, okay, will be divided like iron mixed with clay. And it will have some of the strength of iron, but will also have some of its parts will be, while some of its parts will be as strong as iron, other parts will be as weak as clay. This mixture of iron and clay also shows that these kingdoms will try to strengthen themselves by forming alliances with each other through intermarriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. Just as iron and clay do not mix. During the reign of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. Say what? During the reign of those kings, past tense, are you with me? Not some future kingdom, Antichrist's kingdom, or somewhere in the future. We're talking in the past. This happened. Recorded history. All right? During the reign of those kingdoms, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. Sounds a little bit like what Jesus said when he said that the gates of Hades will not conquer it. You guys with me? Come on. We serve a God who has established an unshakable kingdom for us to thrive in, us to pursue, us to advance. It's awesome. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness, and it will stand forever. Come on now. That is the meaning of the rock. That is the meaning of the rock cut from the mountain. Don't interpret anything else. That is the meaning of the rock, right? Cut from the mountain. That's it. It's the kingdom of God that will crush all kingdoms, and it will take over the whole world, and it will last forever. Not just sometime for a little bit of time until the Antichrist gets really strong and destroys it. Stay with me, church. Trust in the unshakable kingdom. The great God was showing that the king, the great God was showing the king what will happen in the future. The dream is true and its meaning is certain. Come on. Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." This is a powerful prophetic word about the fourth coming of the Christ. "And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, the peace, government and peace, there will be no end." That's Jesus coming to our world. Jesus came during the time of Rome. We all know this, right? Rome was never the same. Okay? Rome was the most powerful world power throughout all world history. This is obvious. We know this. This is like no surprise. They dominated and destroyed everybody and tried to assimilate them into their culture. They tried every trick under the book, intermarriage, and I mean all kinds of crazy stuff. But when Christ came, the entire world changed. Every government was shaken to its core. Because here's the thing, is you can't stop the kingdom of God growing inside of people. No matter what.
You can never cut off the intimacy with God's people, because we don't need a temple. We don't need a flag. We don't need a banner. We don't need some kind of worship service. We don't need a band. We don't need the Bible anymore. Bibles are great. We don't need them because we have an intimate relationship with the everlasting God. And according to His government that's on His shoulders, there will be no end to it. No end. And He made you the temple of God. You are now the temple of God, where He dwells within you. And He took the power of Himself through the Holy Spirit to live inside you, to become an unstoppable force of love. Everywhere you go, whether it be prison, whether it be, you be the president of the United States, you take that unshakable kingdom with you, and no one can stop it. There is no law that can be made that can stop you from advancing the kingdom. You can keep loving people. No matter where you're at, you can keep trusting God and responding to God, proclaiming the gospel that is alive inside of you, and trusting that the sovereign God will advance the kingdom through you and your faithfulness and trust in Him. But you need to trust that no matter what is happening around you, that the God of all of the world and universe is producing has produced an unshakable kingdom that's living inside of you. Can't be stopped. It's that mountain that's growing up to consume the whole world. Look at what's happening to China, and I use them as example. Malaysia. Look at what's happening in India right now. In the what used to be the 1040 window, I don't even know if they consider it the 1040 window of where the most people in the world who are not saved anymore. I don't even hear that term anymore, because so many millions of people have got saved over the last 20, 30 years. China is going to become a Christian nation, guys. It is happening. I mean, the amount of people getting saved in India, in Malaysia, we're talking by the hundreds of thousands of people. They cannot stop it. They tried, but it's not going to happen. They can try to do it to us here, but it's not going to happen. Because listen, the government is not on our shoulders. It's not our responsibility to make our government perfect. It's our responsibility to allow the unshakable kingdom and trust in the unshakable kingdom and allow God's love and His life to come just blowing out through us every single day, expanding through us every single day. Make a genuine relationship today. Do something important for somebody else today, right? Open up your heart, your home, your life to someone today. If we jump back to Hebrews 12, it's so simple. It's a simple life that Christ has called us to live. In a complex, complicated, disaster of a world, we are the light. We're the city on a hill. We're the thing that cannot be hidden. And there's simple things that God is entrusting to us to do. And that comes first from that core love relationship and intimacy and trust with God. And out of that relationship comes a genuine loving relationship for others and a loving pursuit of other people. Right after this great faith chapter, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." Isn't that beautiful? Verse 18, "You have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and a whirlwind, as the Israelites did in the Mount of Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast, a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under the rock, staggered back under God's command, and even the animals touched the mountain. Even if animals touched the mountain, they must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, 'I am terrified and trembling.'" No, that's not the mountain you and I have come to. We have come to Mount Zion, to the city of our living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things.
You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have been now made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and his people, to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Verse 25, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger. We will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. You don't escape God's wrath if you reject Jesus. That's what we're talking about. But we don't come to a physical mountain. We come to the mountain of God's kingdom that is established through the relationship with Jesus. When God spoke to the when God spoke from Mount Sinai, he spoke and shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of the creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe, for our God is a devouring fire. Man, come on. Come on. We're serving a God who has planted us in this world as a light, as a testimony, as an unshakable kingdom that can't be stopped. Verse 13, he says this, Hebrews, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Look, this sounds so humongous and amazing. We're going to take over governments. We're going to overthrow whatever. That's not how it works. The government's not on our shoulders. It's on his shoulders. He rules the world. The King of Kings rules the world. No one else will ever rule the world but the King of Kings. The government's on his shoulders. This is good news. I'm just brushing on this. But I want us to build our trust relationship with God. To sow some seeds of hope in this relationship with God. That he didn't set us up for failure. But he set us up in victory. Not for victory, but in victory. We are victorious, super victorious now. It's done. Our job is to share the love. Share the love. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another, right? Don't live immoral and commit adultery, but don't love money. Be satisfied with what you had. God says this, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? What can mere people do to me? If I serve this God who has established this mountain of a kingdom that will overthrow the entire world, that will rule the whole world, and I'm in this unshakable kingdom, if I trust in that relationship that's bought for me by Jesus, and all I need to do is believe in him, and then I'm in this kingdom, what can anybody do to me? It can never strip you, can never take away your love relationship with God. Nothing can separate you from that. What can they do to you? It's important that when we get afraid and we hear lots of teaching and lots of stuff about what's going to happen and how it's all going to shake out again and again and again and again. Well, no, it's going to happen this year. Oh, no, it's going to happen this year. Oh, no, 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 it's going to happen next year. Oh, on October 12th. Oh, no, I have my dates wrong. It's going to happen on this date. They've been saying this for 100 years. You know that? Or more. It's pretty much about 100 years. This same kind of dispensational theology has come around and around and around again. Over and over again, they pick the exact same circumstances and they see them in our world because they're always there. And we map it all out and we plan it all out, and guess what? The unshakable kingdom keeps growing. The unshakable kingdom keeps expanding. Where are you going to put your trust?
in the God of heaven or a bunch of dates and circumstances? Come on, live today. So many times we make decisions to not live today because we think tomorrow is going to be doom and gloom. Live today because tomorrow is going to be great. Come on. Even if they take everything from you, tomorrow is going to be great. Because you trust in a God who's going to expand the kingdom through your love relationship with Him no matter what. Right? Come on. We got to get perspective. We've got to get perspective on what God is doing. The Lord is your helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere man do to me? God will never leave you or fail you. He will never abandon you. He didn't set us up to abandon us in our time of need. He didn't set us up for that. Nobody who has trusted and relied on God was ever abandoned, even if they lost their life. They go into heaven with this glorious victory, processional in front of them. Their entrance into heaven is grand, is what Peter says. I want that grand entrance. What do you want? Right? What do you want? Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Man, I'm saying trust in the God who's established an unshakable kingdom. That's what I'm saying today. Trust in a God who did everything and purchased everything to make you victorious before you even started out. Who made a way for Him to dwell in you and live through you to do the work of God, His work, His sovereign plan through you. So that you would enjoy that intimate relationship. It's all about that. So God could get what He wanted in the beginning, which is that relationship with you. And that's what He wants. That's why people keep getting born. Right? By the billions now. Because He wants more. He's not satisfied. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants your relationship. That's what He wants. He wants it today. And He wants you to not feel like you have to do something for that, but just live in it and love it and find someone else to share that relationship with and love. The kingdom of God is about discipleship. When you make a disciple, when you share your love with someone, no one can stop that. No one can stop it. You don't have to go do something amazing. God made us for humble, simple lives. That's why I picked humble, simple disciples to lay an example for us. It's why He came as a humble, simple carpenter to let us know anybody can do this. Everybody can do this. The unshakable kingdom is not about dynamic, amazing preachers and worship pastors and conferences. It's about you knowing somebody and loving them and knowing that when the seed of God, the Holy Spirit, comes alive inside of another person, no one can take it away. It can't be robbed and it can't be stopped. Trust in the unshakable church, the unshakable kingdom, living in you, living through you. One last scripture and we're going to close. And if you could, Kalia, put this one up. It's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Verse 8 and 9. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. Don't be blown around by all kinds of different things people say about your relationship with God. Listen, trust that you can't. It can never be taken from you. And God will never abandon you in your time of need. There's no shame inside of your struggle. You have to hide that struggle. You need to embrace what God is doing inside of your life and learn to live and trust and love with others. And that God is not changing, not shifting and changing around. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's building the same church. And know where your strength comes from. It comes from God's grace, not following a bunch of rules. You can't have a relationship with rules. You can't have a relationship with the living God. Amen? Will you stand with me? If you have not made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ and you have not pursued a real relationship with Him and confessed Him as your Lord and Savior and started and initiated that relationship, I'm asking you today if you'd meet me down front. Meet one of our care leaders down front. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. As we close, I'm asking that you would make your way down and allow us to help you initiate that relationship with the living God. Second, if you've struggled in some way with understanding or thinking and being afraid and like lost in some theology that we're going to just be destroyed and that there's no reason to move forward and do anything or have any kind of plan or keep loving people or go to church or, you know, we have this give up theology sometimes that's rolling around. And you're like, God, I really want to grow in my trust relationship with you. I'd like to pray with you just right now. So right in your seat, wherever you're at, if that's you, you're like, God, I need to grow in my trust relationship with you. I need to trust that you're building and doing something that can't be stopped and doesn't rest on my faithfulness. It rests on your faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just repent for just taking things on my shoulders, God, that was never meant for my shoulders. And just walking and acting out in fear that the world is spinning out of control and there's nothing you can do and it's my job to fix it or something. God, I ask you to forgive me for kind of building myself up into some place that really is only a place that you should ever be. And God, I'm trusting, Father God, that you, the sovereign God, has the government on your shoulders, God. You have the full government and full control. God, I just pray right now you will grow my trust relationship with you, Lord, and you will help me to not see myself as God, but see you as God. You as sovereign. We lift you up. God, grow our relationship with you. Holy Spirit, renew our hearts. Build us up. Build up our faith, God. Grow our faith by the power of your Spirit. Lead us today and fill us with your love that we can love others today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, hey, I hope you enjoyed our series on trust. And if you want to get the series, you can just sign up with one of our lovely folks at the information booth or call the church office. And I'd encourage you to get that series and go back over it. You can also get those messages on podcast, but God is good. He never stops working. Amen, church? I'm just encouraging you this week. Find a way to love somebody this week. Build a relationship with somebody who needs to be a part of the kingdom of God. God bless you. Enjoy your week. If you want to give your heart to Jesus or you need prayer for anything, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. Have a fantastic day. Make the sun come out. Do something, right? Amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.